Let us pray. Lord God, as we continue to celebrate your birth in Bethlehem, we pray that you would come among us and that you would make your manger home in our hearts. Lord, be born anew in each one of us, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. The rest of the world they stopped celebrating Christmas at noon on Christmas Day. And if you happen to venture into any stores this week, you could see, Valentine's quickly took over and everything is now down to 80%. So, if you need some wrapping paper or whatever, go get it now. Today is the second Sunday of Christmas. Is that right?
No, the first Sunday.
First
Sunday of Christmas.
The first Sunday. Yeah. That's right.
The seventh day of Christmas, if you want to do that.
It is the seventh day. That's right. So I hope you all go home and find seven swans a-swimming at your house. Actually, I hope you don't. Christopher was just talking about how mean they are. And on the secular calendar, today is New Year's Eve. Yeah, we're on the cusp of football here. And a new year. When we all make all those resolutions. I always like to make a bunch of them so I have something to give up for Lent. Yeah. Actually, I give them up long before Lent. Yeah. So, Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy seventh day. And I know that sometimes we get up here and we'll joke about the lessons that we got, and I'll blame, if I get bad lessons, I always blame it on Father Bill. And he told me this morning when I walked in, he said, "I don't want to hear anything about that because you got the best lessons of all," and I do. If you can't preach on these lessons, if you can't find a sermon in it, you're probably a heathen. I think this is my gift for Christmas. That's what was given to me for these lessons. Especially the gospel, the prologue to the Gospel of John is by far my favorite passage of Scripture. And I don't say that the same way the bishop always says, "Oh, this is my favorite passage." Whatever it is. I think the whole Bible's his favorite. But this passage of Scripture is my favorite. I know it's one of Father Bill's. We talked about it this morning. On Twelfth night is your anniversary, correct? How many years?
38.
38. Wow. And the reason I said that, they had the prologue to the Gospel of John read at their wedding. That's how special it is. But all of them, in Isaiah 61, "I delight greatly in the Lord." Delight, that's all about Christmas, isn't it? "My soul rejoices in my God." Yeah, a lot of rejoicing at Christmas. "For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." How many of you got clothes for Christmas? Anybody? Well, you got some from your Father, your Heavenly Father. In fact, I started to look. At first I thought, well, that would be an interesting sermon, but God said, no, it wouldn't be. To look at all of the places in Scripture where God wants to clothe us with something. There's a PhD right there in the waiting. Because we have a spiritual closet full of spiritual garments. Garments of salvation, a robe of righteousness. And I have it from the highest authority that they do coordinate well with the whole armor of God. And other things that you're asked to put on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not what the sermon will be, but I hope you were thankful for all the clothing you got. And Psalm 147, it's Christmassy. "Grants peace to your borders, satisfies you with the finest wheat. He gives his command, his word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool. Let it snow, let it snow, let..." You just hear them. Hear all the carols in this as we go. Although I don't know a song about ashes. But who can stand withstand his cold, or in the his icy blast, as some translate it? Maybe it's cold outside. Listen to all this Christmas all over this. And in Galatians, Paul makes one of his three references to the birth of Christ. And if you listen to that passage, you can hear Christmas carols just leaping out of it. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And then, of course, the prologue to the Gospel of John. It's every year, it is the appointed text for Christmas morning, if you get up and worship. And it's assigned today. It is a fabulous Christmas text. We're used to the others. I mean, Luke's version of the Nativity, that's, you know, we couldn't go without that. It's so heartwarming. And are any of you familiar with N.T. Wright? He's a bishop and a professor in England, and he said this year, and a great many people took exception to it, he said that he thought Christianity would not look any different if you took out the nativity stories. He said because Christianity is really built on the truth of the resurrection, and that the nativity stories, while they're nice, they're not necessary. I disagree. Yeah, thank you. I think God did too. That's why they're there. And Luke's, you know, we could recite this by heart. Luke's version, we know. You know, Mary and Joseph, and then we sing, you know, what child is this? We have a manger, away in a manger. We have songs for every little thing in that story. We sang a bunch of them. Shepherds, you had a verse. You have sheep. We sang that last week. Do you hear what I hear? Angels from the realms of glory, which we just sang. And we also sang angels we have heard on high. We know that. We can even sing that story, recite it from Scripture. And Matthew's version. We know about Mary and Joseph. Long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say. You don't know that one? Me either. You have to sing it in kind of a calypso, so I get lost in that rhythm. But, you know, you have Bethlehem, you have the star in the sky, you have all the things that you see all through Christmas. It's on your Christmas cards, the three magi. There were really four of them. One was running over the sand dune taking pictures of the others. So it would be on your Christmas card. Although Gary Larson in The Far Side said there were four wise men, and the fourth one was sent away because he brought fruitcake. So, I would have sent him home. And I'm sorry, while I'm on fruitcake, I got on Facebook, one of my friends said, I've already gotten three fruitcakes this year. He was all so excited, and I wrote back and said, what are you building? You get enough of those, you can build a garage on it. But when we come to the Gospel of John, this prologue, we see the story sort of behind the story. You understand what's going on in that story. John makes the truth of the incarnation as clear as it can be made. He makes it clear that this incarnate Word is God in human flesh. The promise of Emmanuel, God with us, is fulfilled in the incarnation. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's powerful. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we've been singing about it and listening to it all through Christmas and haven't even noticed it. You know, come all you faithful, the highest, most holy, light of light eternal, born of a virgin, immortal he comes, Son of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Hark, the herald angels sing. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with us to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. And then what child is this? I won't do the whole verse, but hail, hail the Word made flesh. The babe, the son of Mary. The dogma of the incarnation, and I say dogma instead of doctrine, because people will dispute doctrines. You can't dispute. We can't have a debate over the incarnation. It's like the Trinity. It is. Christians proclaim that Jesus, the man born of Mary in that manger, is God in human flesh. Now he's not a hybrid. He's not 50% God and 50% man. Those were Greek gods like Perseus. He is 100% man and 100% God all the time. I was always bothered when people would be reading the Garden of Gethsemane and say, oh, there you see the humanity of Jesus coming out. Say, you see the humanity of Jesus coming out everywhere. It's there in every word. His divinity is there in every word. He doesn't switch back and forth. He is God in flesh. And it's hard for the world to accept that. Plenty of people are willing to accept that he was 100% human. Many Jewish friends willing to say this. Yeah, they call him a great teacher. But they're not willing to call him divine. In Jewish teaching, one cannot worship a non-divine entity as God. It is considered to be a false worship. In their understanding of the Shema, there cannot be a being who is fully God and fully human. So that one rabbi I was reading last night said, to say that would be substituting a philosophical scheme for the sovereignty of God. God is too holy to be a human being. God cannot be born and God cannot die. And our Islamic friends say something very similar. God is holy, so holy that he cannot begat a son, and that he cannot have a human consort to have a son. And in the Quran it says, mysteriously this sounds similar to the Shema, he is God, the one and only, God the eternal, God the absolute. He is not begotten, nor can he begat. There is none like unto him. They reject the belief in the incarnation because they say that threatens the majesty and the unity of God. They also claim Jesus was a great prophet. And they have some of his teachings in the Quran. And they say Jesus never claimed to be anything other than the messenger, despite the fact that it's written 600 years after Jesus, and the Gospels had all been written. God is so holy that the incarnation is impossible. And to that, I think Christians respond by saying, God is so holy that the incarnation is necessary. When we talk about the holiness of God, we're not talking about a characteristic of God. You know, if we were to say, describe God, some would say, God's loving, and God is kind, God is merciful, God is just, and God is all these things. But if you're going to define God, you would start with, God is holy. He is wholly other, absolutely separated from us, from anything and everything. God is holy. And because He's holy, He is loving, and He is kind, and He is merciful, and He is just, and He is all the things that He has revealed to us. All of that stems from His holiness. And so why did God create us? The answer is in about every sermon we preach. God created us in order to commune with us, to have a relationship with us. And we broke that through sin. Through sin. But because God is holy and does love us, the incarnation became necessary. There is no other way. There is no other way. You cannot work your way back. No matter how many mitzvahs you do, you can't work your way back. No matter how righteous you are. And I don't want to make fun of Islamic people, even though it would be easy to do jokes about it. But it's no joking matter when you're talking about the holiness of God. They see God as so, so holy and remote. So do we. So do we. Have you ever read any of the works of J.C. Sproul? R.C. Sproul, excuse me. R.C. He died on the 14th of this month, by the way. He was a friend of our ministry, but one of the things he said was that God's not just holy. God's holy, holy, holy. It says that in Scripture for a reason. To emphasize holiness. Holy, holy, holy when you're talking about God. He is. And that's how great the love is. That God could be that holy and still want you. And me. And one or two others in the room. God's love that stems from that holiness is awesome. If you have a Bible, let's turn to another great, great Christmas text. Philippians. I hate it when you're in a strange Bible.
Flipping still in the same place.
Yeah. Just keep flipping until you get to Philippians. Philippians 2:5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus, as God, laid that glory aside and came for you, for me. That's how great that love is. Of course, everybody wants to quote, God so loved the world. He gave his only son. There was no other way. There was no other way. And there's nothing that we can do other than what we do best at Christmas, and that's receive the gift. Receive the gift and live according to it, and live in response to it. I was thinking about gifts that you get at Christmas. Occasionally we do get gifts we don't want. That's why you have all these wonderful after Christmas sales. And for some reason, for years and years, everyone gave me sweaters. And I'd be willing to bet all of you here $10 you've never seen me in a sweater. I don't wear them. I'm either casual or I'm formal, and usually not anywhere in between. I don't do the high casual thing, you know, the cool sweater with the Dockers and all that. I guess I'm just not preppy enough. But I made some Goodwill happy somewhere. It was just stacks and stacks of sweaters in the closet. Finally, people stopped giving them because they noticed, you know, he never wears that thing. The gifts you love are the gifts you use. And God, this Christmas, every Christmas, every day, gives us wonderful, wonderful gifts. That clothing I made fun of at the beginning, God really does give that. He gives, I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ, right out of my spiritual closet. It was a gift. Because I can't stand before God without it. And I can't function in the day-to-day battles of spiritual warfare without the armor that He gives. All the things that God gives you, He gives you to use. And all of you have been given innumerable gifts. And you have spiritual gifts. And so quickly this becomes the New Year's sermon. As we move into the new year and we're contemplating how we're going to live it using those gifts. I pray that we'll all take stock of what God has given us and that we'll find wonderful and new ways to use those gifts in the coming year. And if you do resolve to do that, don't give it up for Lent. Amen.